are listening to 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. It's KVOI. You can call us here on the Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management Buckmaster Live Line at 520-790-2040. My name is Dan Gibson. I'm filling in for Bill Buckmaster today, who is still out. Like I was trying to think of the best term for it, but he's
recuperating. Is the word, my boy.
Yeah, there you go. This is going to be a great hour when I can't think of the word recuperating. Should be.
I have a flash update, though.
Oh, I'd love to hear it.
He told me that he is expecting to be back Monday, next Monday.
Well, excellent. One more week of non-Hall of Fame broadcasting, or just actually 3 more days before the Golden Mike. Is that a thing? I think he's won a Golden Mike Award.
I think someone else already got the Golden Mike franchise.
Well, whatever. He's won a lot of awards because he's great at what he does. Bill Buckmaster. If you're on the Facebook, you could go wish him well on his Facebook page, Bill Buckmaster. My name is Dan Gibson. I'm from Visit Tucson. I'm the Senior Director of Communications there. I had an exciting time on the air last week, but we have phones that are working. It's going to be great. And we have an exciting show broadcasting here from the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studio. First guest of two today. It's a newsmaker extravaganza. He is the city council person for Ward 6. He is Steve Kozacik, and he is on the Buckmaster Show today. How are you doing, sir?
Well, so you might turn out to be the Joe DiMaggio of Bill Buckmaster's Wally Pipp taking a day off. And he leaves for a couple of days, and you step in, and this could be the start of a long, long career.
I've spent a lot of time trying to get out of journalism, and this is as close as I'd like to go back. Just filling in every once in a while, I get a little taste, just a little bit of the action. You know, I'm fine.
So
Bill will be
you are truly just the pinch hitter then. Huh?
Yes, exactly. I'm whoever, when Cal Ripken took a day off finally, I'm that footnote to history is what it is.
All right.
I can look that up, but I won't.
Note.
Yeah, exactly. Right. That's all I am. Just a little addendum to history.
I think that's what we all are in the long run, right?
It's true. It's right. Metaphysical talks with
Steve
Kozacik.
Right. Yes. We're all dust in the wind.
Truly. Yeah. All I want to be known is somebody who possibly cared about their city too much, as they say. But plenty going on. I wrote down 8 things we could talk about, but there's probably 100. So as we come out of this, let's stick to the existential talk. What have you learned about Tucson through the pandemic?
Wow, about Tucson?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know that I've learned it. It reaffirmed it, though. I think in the January 8th shooting, it affirmed for me and the resiliency of this community. But since the pandemic happened, and it also reaffirmed it when I was doing the work over at the Benedictine with the migrants, seeing the literally hundreds of people who volunteered their time and their resources to take care of those folks. We saw memorials pop up all over the city after the January 8th shooting. And in the last year plus, we have seen people step up and take care of their neighbors. Social isolation is a real thing. And take care of the seniors in their neighborhoods. We've got people delivering groceries, doing errands. We've seen the community really rally around our healthcare workers and our first responders. So I think the overarching kind of reinforcement is what a wonderful group of people we have in this community who actually care about one another. And so it's sort of always there in the underbelly, but when a situation happens, whether it be a mass shooting or the needs of the migrants at the coming through the Benedictine or a pandemic, people kind of show up. And we're still having people. I still have people drop off donations every single day at the ward office for migrants. And we've had I held a Zoom back early on in the pandemic to just simply talk about social isolation. We had people from the healthcare community joining it, from PCOA. So it's been really reaffirming of what a great community we are, and community underlined in all caps.
That's very well said. What is there something that the pandemic and the struggle in, I mean, I don't want to say in a negative way, but is there a challenge that the last year and a half has sort of magnified in your mind? I mean, is there something that you're like, okay, when we get through the sort of public health crisis of this, this is something that needs to change?
We have a lot of local small businesses that you guys work with over at Visit Tucson, and that we work with both at the city and the county, who are struggling and have struggled throughout. And we have been able to prop them up with one-time money out of CARES Act and one-time money out of the Recovery Act. But making sure that we can continue to sustain them, because it's not going to be like flipping a switch and everything is immediately back to normal. And so being able to sustain them, and so that they can get back on their feet again. And I'm particularly concerned about a lot of the small businesses on the 4th Avenue corridor, the downtown core, that have really struggled and continue to. I know you guys have done a great job at Visit Tucson in supporting them, in marketing them, but God, if nobody's flying, nobody's traveling, there are no events at the TCC, there's not a whole lot of entertainment happening, then that has just doubled down on the difficulty for them. So that's really a focus front and center for me, is to make sure that we continue to support them. Now, I know that there have been continued and ongoing efforts, Kathleen Erickson at Downtown Tucson Partnership has done a great job in advocating for the small local businesses with different kinds of events throughout the pandemic. But that I think for me is really a key focus right now.
I think I'm not sure who told this to me, but this was specific to I think South 12th, but somebody, it might have been the mayor actually, was saying just how few of those businesses, which we consider like really part of the cultural fabric of this community, don't own the building they're in. And that's also somewhat true of 4th Avenue. I think some of the changes that have happened are businesses that flip over and are indicative of the sort of that fraught space, right? Is that, and I think that's something in Tucson we don't always think about, is just how quickly something can become a chain gas station, right? I mean, obviously there's a number of protections to keep that from happening, but if you don't own the land, things can change in a hurry. And I you know, that's a larger problem, but it does say how, I think the pandemic has taught me that too, is just like how tense this situation can be, right? I mean, I don't think anybody would have possibly expected this. I think most of us had that experience where we left our office expecting to come back in a couple days or in a couple weeks or fill in the blank. And then a year later, there's a plant dying on your office desk. But like,
yeah.
It's just there is that in Tucson, I think in particular, the sort of lack of that construct of someone to bail this stuff out. And thank goodness for some of this government intervention, the city and the county coming to work together on these projects and really, you know, support these businesses. But, you know, another sort of not pandemic thing, you just don't know what's going to happen in the future. And we do our best to try to get people to come and to bring attention to it, even for locals. But, you know, the infrastructure, a big word of the moment, but like the infrastructure of local businesses is more tenuous than I think people imagine.
No, it is. And tenuous is the right word, because you're right. The many of the small local businesses that we see popping up around the city, but particularly in the downtown area and South 12th, you're correct on that also, and 4th Avenue area, they don't own those buildings by and large. And so you're right. And so they're tenants. And just as we are seeing an explosion in the housing market, rents are going up from a commercial perspective also. And when the business is already having trouble, because they're surviving on, the restaurants in particular, surviving on takeout meals. You know, I mean, that's not a business model that's built to weather a 30% increase in your rent. So I give high marks to the, you know, I met with Jan Lesher from the county, and we worked with 4th Avenue merchants, and the county used some of their CARES money to bring in over $500,000 to support some of those businesses, rent and personnel and utility assistance. The same thing that they did with Kathleen downtown and the county and some CARES money down there. But again, it's one-time money. And once it's spent, once you've paid those you know, your workers, once you've paid that rent and once you've paid your utilities, you still got to have customers. So we have done some really, really productive things in the interim while everybody was cooped up at home. We've made some really major renovations to the Tucson Convention Center. Rio Nuevo has stepped up and partnered on that. That's going to make it a much more marketable commodity for you guys at Visit Tucson. There are now, four hotels popped up and around the downtown core, not the mega convention hotel, but the singles and doubles that I've been talking about trying to swing for instead of swinging for the fence, that are at different price points. And we just did a ribbon cutting on one last week over by the TCC, you know, the Caliber. And so we've got the capacity now. I think you guys are starting, and in fact, I read your update on a weekly basis, and you're starting to see bookings start to inch up a little bit. And but one of the realities, though, and you'll probably know this better than me because you're so close to it with Brent and the team down there at Visit Tucson, is that we've reimagined what work looks like, and a lot of people are going to be splitting time between home and office, and that's probably a healthy thing from lots of perspectives, child rearing and, you name it. But I think we're also reimagining what people, their entertainment choices look like. And so I don't know that we're going to see a whole lot of major conventions traveling to anywhere, Tucson, San Diego, Las Vegas, or wherever, because people have sort of figured out this Zoom thing. And much as we hate it, it's sure convenient. And you can sure cut costs by doing things remotely. So it'll be a brave new world looking forward. And I'm looking forward to working with you guys on how we sort of pivot to what that brave new world looks like. Are we going to be attracting conventions? Right now we're seeing sort of a, Memorial Day, we can take the mask off and go and have fun for a weekend, but what does that really look like in the long run? And we don't know what we don't know. And that'll be a learning curve for all of us, I think. And it will affect all of our bottom lines because the tourism industry is so huge to this region.
That is a solid plug for Visit Tucson, and I appreciate it. If we have a break coming up, I'm going to talk about a promising local business real quick here, and then we'll have you on for another segment. This portion of the Buckmaster Show is presented by Mona's Danish Bakery. It's home of the Danish Kringle. Mona's is located on the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Mona is open for breakfast and lunch right now until 2 p.m. They're open at 6:30 too for your early morning dining needs. Of course, treat yourself to their mouth-watering pastries, including the famous Danish Kringle, monasdanishbakery.com or buckmastershow.com for a link to Mona's Danish Bakery. We will be back on the Buckmaster Show with me, Dan Gibson, passive, acceptable fill-in for the radio legend here on 1030 The Voice KVOI.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Why is mining so important? It's the foundation of everything that defines a society. Everything you see is a product of mining. No matter when, no matter how, no matter why, every society on this planet has developed, grown, and modernized based solely on the minerals it could process. That, my friend, is why mining is so important.
Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is starting to review projects submitted by RTA member jurisdictions for consideration for the next RTA plan. The committee will consider plan goals and performance factors as they move into the selection process. The RTA will seek public feedback on the committee's draft plan when it is ready. Learn more about plan goals and sign up to stay informed at rtanext.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at veroamorepizza.com.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
MedCare to You is a new Tucson-based concierge telemedicine urgent care, specializing in caring for our patients in the comfort of your location. We deliver your prescriptions and even provide in-person visits with our dedicated staff. It's convenient, quick, private, and your personal information is always protected. Find out more at MedCareToYouAZ.com.
You are listening to 1030 The Voice. It is trusted local news and talk at KVOI. KVOI.com on the internet, 520-790-2040 on the Rincon Ventures live Buckmaster live line. Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. We are broadcasting from the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studio. Speaking of Green Things, let's just get into it with Green Things as well. Since 1970, Green Things has been the go-to place for your gardening needs. Green Things is on a lovely 13-acre site that is also home to Zocalo Village and all those fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things on River Road, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park, and on the web at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com. My mother and mother-in-law and son are all at Green Things right now. So it's working. The ad is working. Just so you know, Green Things, people advertise on the Buckmaster Show, real things happen for them. We're still here with Councilperson Steve Kozacik. You got a re-election campaign, but you're not raising money. You're not taking contributions. Is that how that's working?
Right, but I have to give another plug for one of Bill's advertisers. My mother-in-law turned 100 a couple of weeks ago, and she's Danish.
Oh, yeah.
And so we got her a Kringle.
Oh, the world-famous Danish Kringle.
Yes, yes. So
excellent.
It is working absolutely. So
it's all coming together. So the plan is to coast on charm in your re-election campaign? Is that how I'm understanding it? Just no money. You're just going to just...
So this... You know, this is a big, small town, and I've been fairly accessible and very accessible and taking public positions for 12 years. My sense is that people have better things to do than write a check to a politician right now. There are lots of local small businesses that need their help. There are lots of nonprofits in our community that need their help. And so I'm going to keep just doing what I'm doing, staying very public. And if people haven't, I put a 4,000 or 5,000 word newsletter together every week, been doing it for a decade. I don't think name recognition is really the issue I've got. And so we're going to be putting some yard signs together with spray paint and reusing some recycled signs and throwing them up. But that's not, raising cash is not something I'm asking people to do.
Fair enough. So I think... So we came, we're still mid-pandemic recovery by all means, but I think the thing that sort of, at least everyone I feel like is talking about now is the housing situation in Tucson. And it's not particularly unique to Tucson. Nationwide, there are challenges with housing. I'm boxing you into this conversation into 5 minutes, which is probably not fair, but what are we going to do about affordable housing in Tucson?
So we actually have... multiple irons in the fire for unaffordable housing right now. A lot of it, we're digging out of a hole that was created in the under the previous administration when HUD funds were cut to the bone. But we are working with private development to dedicate certain portions of certain development projects to affordable housing. We have over 1,500 units that the city of Tucson owns and operates now. We have over 330 vouchers that we are helping people simply stay in their homes. We've got rent utility assistance that not only went to small businesses, but went to people who are on the edge. So we've got a lot of irons in the fire, but one of the, and you kind of touched on this with respect to the ownership of the property on the businesses. If you're a tenant, landlords have the legal right to jack your rent up. And so one of the conversations I've had and continuing to have with our housing people is how do we help people who are sort of in that gap where my rent just went up from $700 to $900. It priced me out of my my subsidy from HUD. How do we fill that $200 gap? And so we've got irons in the fire there as well through our housing department. Much of the several millions of dollars that we're investing in this are coming through HUD dollars, though. And so we are reliant on federal help to make sure that we're keeping people in their homes. Our work with the nonprofits, sort of shifting to another element of this, is that, you know, with Primavera and some of the others around town, really focuses on a housing first model. And so when you say the word homeless, people have different visions of what that is. But the reality is that it's a non-definable term. It can be the single mom living with two kids in a car who is a domestic violence victim. It can be the seniors who just had a catastrophic health situation pop up and they've never been on the street in their lives. It can be somebody with a serious mental illness. It can be somebody with drug addictions. And all of them require a different sort of intervention. And so we have a homeless unit that we work with in TPD, whose goal is not to bust people who are homeless, but to get them into the services that they need. So all of these are a part of that answer. There is no single answer to it. But it's not just Tucson that's seeing an acceleration in housing prices and rents. It's all over the country right now. And, Dan, one of the things that's troubling to me is that what we're seeing also come into Tucson is a lot of investment from out of state. And they're buying up houses and flipping them. And people are winding up having a difficult time making rent when the new owners come in. So it's not all a local issue by any means. And so the keys to solving it, there's not a single magic bullet. It's all of the above that's mentioned. It's HUD dollars. It's working with nonprofits. It's working with landlords. I had a meeting here in the ward office 6 or 8 months ago where I had people from the multifamily housing industry, along with constables, and Kirsten Randall, one of the constables here in the office, talking with the county people and people from the courts, trying to work on how do we change the protocols that the court system and the constables are working at so that when you have somebody show up at your door, they're not telling you you've got 12 hours to leave. It's you've got 12 days, and how can we get you some assistance? So that there is no single answer to that question. There are multiple moving pieces, and it's a very complex conversation that we've had going on since pre-pandemic. But the pandemic has really kind of pulled the scab off, and now we're seeing people actually bleeding, and we need to provide them the help that they need.
Well, and I mean, when you see, I think what to my position is, you know, sort of sensible higher density development like around the Benedictine. Like, I feel like at least that's becoming a little bit more palatable to people, is like that, you know, we do need more housing. It's just like sort of a reality. Yeah. And things that can be affordable or hit that mid-range space. But it feels counterintuitive to Tucson in some ways, but every time I see some like higher density vertical properties, I'm like, oh, thank goodness, right? Like a little bit of that is happening, which is, I think, going to ease a little of that pressure.
And that is such an important point, because right now, for instance, the Broadway widening, this has been an open wound in this community for a decade now, but we are finally putting together the Sunshine Mile overlay, And a part of that overlay is intentionally building density along between Euclid and Country Club on Broadway, but also giving an incentive for an affordable housing component. It's going to be the only overlay that's ever been created in this city where that is an incentive for builders to come in and try and check that box. So, yeah, but every time we have a new development go in, City of Tucson residents, one of the pieces of our DNA is we get hives when people talk about going vertical.
Right.
And that's always a difficult conversation to have. But it's one where I think we're checking a lot of productive boxes with the Sunshine Mile overlay. And I hope that serves as a template for other transit development in the community where we can say, look, we can do this. We can build affordable housing into an overlay as an incentive without ruining the neighborhood that happens to be on the backside of that development. Because the Broadway frontage is one thing, but you got to remember there's a back door to that building, and that's facing somebody's residence. And that's the challenge.
We have 40 seconds before the show gets taken away from me briefly, but how can people get in touch with you and maybe find out? I mean, obviously the newsletter is a good place to start, but what is the entry world into the world, the mind of Steve Kozacik for people?
Yeah, well, you know, I'm accessible. People call the ward office all the time. People do, you know, my email is steve.kozacik@tucsonaz.gov. You know, I'm not hard to find. And yeah, the newsletter is out weekly and a good source of information.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for being on the show today. And thanks for your work for the city. We'll be back
from one footnote to another. Thanks for the time.
Anytime. You're listening to the Bill Buckmaster.
Reed Park Zoo is now open for wildlife walks, a modified guest experience, prioritizing social distancing and safety. To find out more about all the changes and the new safety precautions now in place, visit reedparkzoo.org. The community-approved 10-year master plan ensures that your zoo's future is brighter than ever before. We've missed you, and so have the animals. They're waiting to welcome you back to the Reed Park Zoo.
Have you ever imagined how your life would be without the modern conveniences you rely on every day? Everything you need depends entirely on products produced from mining. Without mining, think Stone Age. Your work commute might be a bit slower, but you could still have social media. Bathing shouldn't be a problem, but it won't be in a tub. So unless you're a caveman, you can see everything that enriches your life depends on the many miracles from mining. Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Enjoy the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley. Savor the view while sipping on locally brewed craft beer and enjoying gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, at West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and on the web at noblehops.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Welcome back to the Bill Buckmaster Show. I am very much not Bill Buckmaster. I am Dan Gibson, the Senior Director of Communications of Visit Tucson. You're listening to, we're broadcasting from the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studio, also the Buckmaster Live Line at 520-790-2040, is presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. So that's all of that has happened. And I have a correction. I just want to make sure we correct the record here. Okay, let's get this. Bill sent me.
Are we going to make a distinction between a franchise and an award?
I make no distinctions. It's not my policy.
Well, Bill, then it's all my fault.
Oh, well, I mean, it doesn't need to be anybody's fault. We just want to correct the record. Bill is part of two states' Hall of Fame, Arizona and Nevada, and he is a Golden Mike Award winner in 2011 from the Tucson Ad Federation. So, I all those awards are dying. You can recognize when you see greatness. Bill's he's the best at what he does. So I'm merely a ghost that's filling in the chair here briefly. You can call us if you like at 790-2040. Our next, you know what? I should do the other read. Let's do the other read. We'll talk about Silver City. We'll take it out of the way. Silver City, New Mexico. Our friends over in Silver City in Grant County, they're ready to welcome you back with open arms, just like the Journey song. Just 3 hours east of Tucson, there's so much to do in Silver City in Grand County, New Mexico, including hiking in the Gila National Wilderness, where there is plenty of social distancing. Also, visit the world-famous Cliff Dwellings National Monument. For a complete listing of the many things to do and great places to stay, visit southwestnewmexico.org. Great used bookstores in Silver City. That's my pro tip. If you enjoy books, Silver City is a great place to buy some books. Our next guest here on the Buckmaster Show, he's calling in on the Buckmaster Live Line, is Will Humble. He's the executive director of the Arizona Public Health Association, 30 years in public health, including more than 2 decades at the Arizona Department of Health Services. Of course, anytime there is anybody talking about health, you know, I mean, there's plenty to talk about. Will, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing just fine. How about you?
I am fine. I am here. You know, I mean, I think in the after everything we've been through, I'm just happy to be here for sure. I want to make sure we talk about some things that aren't COVID, but, you know, we probably should. I mean, it's still very much a part of the transaction. I think going to grocery stores lately and seeing people without masks is a very odd and strange transition into what passes for regular life. But, I mean, there were new numbers today delayed by the Memorial Day weekend, right? 915 new cases, 20 additional virus-related deaths statewide, none in Pima County in the last report. But, I mean, this is still very much a real public health crisis. I mean, is that a fair way to put it?
Well, let me put it this way. It's a public health crisis for people that aren't vaccinated. I mean, if you're vaccinated, even if you've just had one of the two-shot series, you've got really good protection. So the crisis now, at least in this country, is really among those persons that have either chosen not to get vaccinated, have delayed it, still have questions, or live in communities where it's still too inconvenient for them to get the vaccine. So that's in this country. It is definitely a public health crisis internationally and will be that way for many, many months to come.
So we're at, I think the last thing I saw was like, it's about like 3.3 million people, about 47% of the state have gotten a vaccine, at least one, and 2.8 million people have gotten both. So, I mean, we're at 46.5% of the vaccine eligible population. I would assume that some of that is the lag of people in the 12 to 15 range, because that's just going to take a little bit more time and getting those young people into clinics and whatnot to get the vaccines. But how high is that that number likely to go? I mean, it feels like we're stalling out a little bit.
Yeah, we're definitely stalling out. And I think, by the way, I think it's also people in their 20s and 30s who still haven't gotten vaccinated. You know, it's not just the 12 to 18 year olds. It's people in general in their 20s and 30s who are not, by the way, vaccine resistant or hesitant. They just haven't gotten around to it, and they demand convenience. So they want opportunities where it's presented to them on a little platter. And if it's free, if it's convenient, if it's without an appointment, you're there with the needle, they'll get the vaccine. So that kind of convenience is what we need. So, that's the group that we need to focus on, I think, is people from 12 to 38, 39, 40, something like that. But remember also, there is probably an additional 20% of the public that was infected with this virus and recovered. Maybe actually more than that, because we did such a bad job controlling this virus. So when we say 46%, really, I think you get to add at least another 15%, because there's people who got infected and recovered. Now, some of those got vaccinated. Some of those are in the vaccinated pool. They got the infection and they also got vaccinated. So you can't count them all. But we're north in terms of antibody coverage. Immune response for coverage, I think we're probably in the 60-something percent range just because of those infections.
So when you have the gap of, you know, young people, right, who have the air of invincibility and would like to figure out how to get their vaccine through a TikTok, like that feels like a logistical problem, right? I mean, you add more pods and things in places where it's immediately accessible, or there's a market force that makes them do it, right? Their university doesn't let them in, or fill in the blank, right?
Yeah, or a carrot, or an incentive, you know? Like, a lot of states are doing incentives. Some are doing lottery things, some are just kind of gimmicks. Some businesses are giving away a free pint of beer. There's dispensaries that are giving you a free pre-rolled joint, for example, if you show that you're vaccinated. So I think there's actually a dispensary up in Phoenix that is giving vaccines.
Okay. Well, there you go.
Someone on in the place. So yeah, those are the kinds of creative things. By the way, you guys have a terrific county health department down there. Dr. Cullen is doing a great job, and the whole team there, at being creative. I would say that Pima County Health Department is the most creative of all 15 in terms of figuring out interesting new ways to get that notch group, that people in their 20s and 30s vaccinated, like the Vax at Dark thing. That's just one example.
Yeah, the at Visit Tucson, when we saw the Vax After Dark logo, we were just like delighted. Like, we were just like, this is, I mean, if I could never think about this stuff ever again, that would be just fine. But like, it was just like, oh, this is clever. Like, you're getting in front of people, and the radio connections, and they are really actively trying to think of, you know, whatever stone is left unturned. What other, I mean, you mentioned like underrepresented or underreached communities. Like, what are those communities, and what, how do we get to those?
Well, in part, it would be more employer-based clinics. So going actually out to employers so that you're getting people vaccinated on their break or at their lunch break or things like that. And that is happening. I mean, that's happening. We just need more of it to happen. There are up in the Phoenix area, I know there are some live radio broadcast type remote things that are going on a Saturday. They did an event up here at the swap meet up in the Phoenix area, you know, where they gave out vaccines at the park and swap. Just making it easier and more convenient in those lower income communities. And it's not something that happens overnight. You know, it's more labor intensive than the mass vaccination things that we had at the beginning. It's more labor intensive, and it takes more time and effort to get each person vaccinated, but it works. And if you keep pressure over time, it can happen. And by the way, there's no shortage of money. I mean, a lot of times throughout my whole career, we've cried poor. Well, we can't afford to do this. We can't afford that. That's not happening right now. The county health departments and the state health department have more money than they know what to do with to get vaccines out. So it's not a matter of lack of resources. It's in part the lack of creativity.
My idea is I'd like a local, like, you know, there's these sort of larger apartment complex companies. You know, there's a large one up here, down here, Mark Taylor, you know, in the Phoenix area, things like that. They should give $100 off your rent if you get a vaccine. That's what I'm saying.
That kind of stuff.
That's right there. That's a group that's like, you know what? There was a time in my life where regardless of my feeling of a vaccine or my thoughts about it, if they were there at my apartment complex and I would have got $100 off my rent, I would have signed up for nearly anything. So
that kind of thing. And by the way, they could get reimbursed by the state. The CDC has said clearly that incentives to get vaccinated are an authorized expense under these grants the state health department has. They're just not doing it.
Well, that's a free one for the public. I mean, anybody can. I don't even need credit. They don't have to call it the Dane Gibson incentive. It's fine. Just, you know, as someone in the field of tourism, I every day wanting more people to get vaccinated by all means. Can we come back for another segment? I want to talk about some things that are public health related that aren't COVID, just to mix it up a little bit. But you're listening to 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. It's the Bill Buckmaster Show with me. Not so special guest host Dan Gibson of Visit Tucson. We'll be right back.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. To prepare for ongoing project delivery, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for a new draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
Hello, I'm Jeanette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
That might be the most enthusiastic bumper music I've heard on the Buckmaster Show in some time. It's zesty.
Little Stevie Ray Vaughan.
Oh, there you go. Austin legend. You're listening to 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. It's the Bill Buckmaster Show with me, Dan Gibson. Vaguely able fill-in for Bill, who is recuperating. He also informed me he will be back on Monday. You broke that news earlier, but he will have a sling. So it'll be, it's going to be a rush against the elements for him putting on a show. So, but I'm sure it'll be great. Better than mine, by all means. We're talking to Will Humble, who is the executive director for the Arizona Public Health Association, and a great follow on Twitter. Just as a heads up, Will, what's your Twitter handle so people can check out there?
Yeah, it's at @WillHumble_AZ.
Excellent. I you are a solid follow. So there's something to check out if you're into the public health space. So I think to some extent, so much emphasis has happened, obviously, on public health in this time period, but I'm not sure it's necessarily something it got the attention as a subject that it deserved or merited before COVID, but now it is very much something we talk about. And I think there's a little bit of a challenge that once we get out of this, we don't ever want to talk about any of these things ever again. But what would you say you've learned about public health through the last 18 months or so? I mean, what's the sort of lesson you take away about what we need to do differently as a state or as a culture?
Well, that's a really interesting question. I got to tell you, one of the things that I have a lot more confidence in now than I used to are what we call preprints. So a lot of the public health decisions and recommendations that the various agencies and people like me were putting out were really based on, evidence that is in journal articles. And throughout the course of my career, I really withheld any kind of judgment about making a recommendation until I saw something in a peer-reviewed journal that's been through the entire peer-review process. And one of the things that we discovered through the pandemic is that these things called preprints, which are journal articles that are put out by researchers but haven't gone through the full peer-review process, were actually really valuable and reliable. And had we been more cautious, we would have missed out on opportunities to learn more quickly. Let me give you an example. At the very beginning of this pandemic, back in March or April of 2020, there was a real honest-to-goodness debate about how valuable masks were going to be because there wasn't any evidence on this virus. It was a brand new virus. We didn't know whether it was dominant by airborne or whether it was, hand washing, touch surfaces, that kind of thing. It turned out that the proceedings of the National Academy of Science report back in May really established pretty clearly that this virus spreads, the dominant way it spreads is through airborne transmission, and that masks, looked at the evidence in New York City, in Wuhan, and in Lombardy, Italy, that masks really did work. And so there wasn't time to go through the full peer-reviewed journal process. And had we done that, we wouldn't have known that masks were valuable until August. But because we trusted the preprints, we knew by May. Now, that didn't always translate into good public policy. As you know, our governor prohibited cities and counties from having a face covering mandate all the way up until the end of June. Well, he had the evidence in May that it was effective. He just didn't use that evidence for policy purposes until late June. So that's one thing that I think I've learned is the value of preprints. A little bit wonky, but it's something that answers your question. The other is how incredibly important it is when you're in the voting booth to select people that you honest to goodness trust if there is a public health emergency. So, we saw that both at the national, at the state level, that the people that we elect to these offices can have a profound impact on your life and your lifestyle and whether or not your family members are going to live or not. And so I've learned how very important it is to think extremely carefully about who you vote for.
I think it's interesting because it does press upon people like some of the flaws of our system, right? I mean, like it's fascinating to see like how thrilled people are to get a free vaccine or some of these things that like testing was free or, those costs were absorbed by something, but it's like, well, now I can go back to paying for everything just and making my choices on whether I can afford them or not, you know, or based on my health plan. It's like, maybe that isn't working. But, you know, I hope that personally, I mean, even as just a layman in this space, is like that more of those questions are asked, right? Like, not just people being held accountable for the choices they may or may not have made during COVID, but like that public health questions are a larger part of, not even outside of like just conversations about socialized medicine, but like, well, what do you want to do about this? Like, how can we make these things better? I think,
right.
You know, I was just looking at some of the, you know, the advocacy on the website about retirement homes or senior care facilities, which is, you know, it's sort of a conversation that maybe we're not willing to have, but is happening, you know, with real people's lives at stake, or the needle exchange bill. I think you were one of the advocates for that. It's like, well, these things are happening all the time.
Yeah, that's right. You know, another thing, if we're still on the same question.
Sure, I'm into it.
Occurred to me throughout this is at a bigger level. It's like the very nature of our republic is what led to such a dissonant response to this pandemic. And it's interesting. You look at the way the founders set us up. So we have governance at the local level, say Pima County Board of Supervisors. Then you got state government, and then you've got the federal government. Then you got these governing boards for the school districts. So there's such a decentralized motif of decision making in our country, which the founders intended, because that's what prevents tyranny. You know, if you spread out decision making, it prevents tyranny, which is a good thing. But it also, during a public health emergency, provides an opportunity for those persons that are in those elected and appointed positions to be a real problem and make your response a lot less effective. And so if you compare us to, say, a country like South Korea, where everyone tends to be kind of on the same page, the nature of their republic is a lot more uniform compared to ours. The countries that have prime ministers and that parliamentary type of government have less dissonance and less conflict within the way they make decisions. But the nature of our republic led, I think, in part to why this became so much more complicated in the U.S. than it was in, say, Western Europe.
We have a very awkward amount of time left, 1 minute and like 50 seconds. But I wanted to make sure that people can you have your blog, and that's at azpha.org, right?
Yep.
We mentioned the Twitter feed. I mean, I guess this is the quick thing. What is this is the worst possible position to put you in? But like, what is the public health thing that people aren't paying attention to that they should be right now? On a like a policy level.
Oh, it's all about the vaccine. Well, that, and this is the big thing, is that no one or very few people are paying attention to what's happening in the developing world, because the lack of access to vaccine in places like Nepal, Vietnam, all throughout Africa, parts of South America, that is leading to more and more infections. That's leading to more opportunities to create new variants. And eventually, one of those variants may end up escaping the antibodies that we've created and boomerang back on us. So it's in our own best interest to help the third world get vaccinated. And also, it's the right thing to do.
I should have left things on a more positive note, but I'm not sure public health is one where you get a ton of like upbeat notes all the time, maybe. Well, thank you, Will, for being on the show. Will Humble's the executive director of the Arizona Public Health Association and a very smart person and someone worth listening to on all those subjects on Twitter, and his blog is elsewhere. My name is Dan Gibson. I'm the senior director of communications at Visit Tucson. You can find out more about Visit Tucson if you like on our website at visittucson.org, or all of the social channels, which we're on all of them, I think. Friendster, MySpace, all of them. You are listening to 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk, and the Bill Buckmaster Show. I don't know who's on tomorrow, but Bill will be back on Monday. Great radio all around, and have a great day.